beginning of verse 27.
But the anointing which is received from him abides in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things,
and it is the truth, and it is no lie, and even as it is taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If we know that he is righteous, we know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him.
All right, verse 27. What is the anointing that John talks about? Any hands on that? Yes, Anna.
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Well, when does the Holy Spirit enter sinners saved by grace? Bill.
At the moment of salvation.
The moment of salvation. Genuine salvation, the Holy Spirit in God. When does he leave?
He doesn't.
He doesn't. That's right. He never leaves a person. What if the person sins? Does the Holy Spirit leave? No.
You can grieve him.
You can grieve the Holy Spirit, but we want to refrain from sin. What is the procedure to get a son of God, a child of God, back to fellowship with the Lord once he or she sins? Brother?
1 John 1:9.
Bill?
I'll confess your sins.
Okay, let's say 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins,
he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
And what is confession? Yes,
Barbara? Homo
legato, agree with what it says. Homo legato, say the same thing. Homo saying, look out to say. Say the same thing about the sin that God says and agree with him that we've sinned. So, the anointing is mentioned here, but you have received him. Who's the ye referred to there? Barbara?
That's all the believing Christians.
The genuine Christians, the only ones which ye have received of him, abideth in you. That shows you where he is. He's in. The believers abideth. That means he doesn't leave us. That means he's continued with us. And what about the next phase about teaching? What does the ministry of the Spirit of God get then?
Well, the Holy Spirit teaches us.
The Holy Spirit teaches us. And
so we don't need any other teachers.
Other teachers, yeah. Pardon?
Jesus said he did it into all truth.
All right. And where do we find the Spirit of God's teachings? Where is it?
Important.
In the scriptures. Is it important to have the right scripture?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. The right scripture. And why do we know that the Holy Spirit taught and influenced and led the writers of the Bible? How do we know that he led them? And who led the Holy Spirit with the words? Who's the author of all the words of the Bible? That
the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And how is it phrased in scripture?
Not speaking the gospel, but sorry, he shall hear the great moment of spirit. That shall I speak. I mean, I was John 16.
Yes, and I'm sure you think you got that question.
And I spoke before here, and of course, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, Clement, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, wanted to ye do well, that ye take heed. As the light that shineth in a dark place, as the day dawns, and the day star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scriptures, any private interpretation. The prophecy came in old times of little men, of the little man, the holy men of God spake it, they removed the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Thank you,
Ben. Yeah, Bill.
And we also say it every Sunday morning, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
All right, now, the thing.
John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, with him, he will guide you into all truth, mm-hmm. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
For you receive a mind,
or
short unto you.
Not yet, Lord.
Oh, excuse me. I take a mind and show it to you.
No.
Now what's next?
For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me.
What's
that's the next verse.
But then, go ahead. Then.
For he shall receive a mind and shall show it unto you.
So, who's the mind then? Who's he speaking? Show it unto
you. The Lord Jesus Christ.
So, the Lord Jesus is the teacher, the word, every word. gives to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives to the human writers. So it starts with the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, to the human writers, who writes it down, and we have it in the Scripture.
In verse 13, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Verse 13 makes it clear. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth.
Mm-hmm.
For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear,
mm-hmm.
that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
And what says
he will glorify me, yes, with grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
For he, the Holy Spirit, shall receive of mine, only the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall show it unto you.
That's right.
The Christian.
And what does he not speak of himself? From himself and the source. Do not speak from himself. He's not the source, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. If the source is the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, then to the human writers, and now we have the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. We have the King James Bible, an accurate translation of those original writings which we have preserved to this very day. And those are the words that they quoted the King James translators translated from. All right, so we're on that verse talking about he's the anointed one. And the same way, teacheth you all things. And so, the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, in the Scriptures, teaches you all things. All things that have to do with the Spirit, the scriptural things and the biblical things, things of the Lord, certainly not all scientific things, but all things pertaining to the Word and the truth. Now, it says, and is truth. Now, what way does that mean? He is truth. It has a
verse
number
27.
Yeah. Well, he's the triune God. Mm-hmm.
And so, as
the Lord
Jesus
said,
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is the way, the truth, and the life.
And so. So the Holy Spirit abides truth and is no lie. And what else does the Holy Spirit ministry here in verse 27? What other ministry is similar to one before? Says before, he will teach you, but no man will teach what the Holy Spirit teaches you, but it's repeated again the last part of the verse.
He's
going to
fill him, and he shall abide
in him. Even as it has taught you, he shall abide in him. He shall abide in him. So abiding in the Lord Jesus, abiding in the Holy Spirit of God, fellowship with him. Then in verse 28, what does he call these people he's writing for here? What does he call them?
Children.
Little children, what's that mean? Hey, how's that? How many other people does he write to earlier?
He's a Christian.
That's fine.
In verse 12 and 13, he goes to little children, fathers, and young men.
So that's three different groups. These little children, how would we define little children? How would we define these little children? We studied last week too.
And you're Christians.
Yes, there were new Christians, little babies, just reaching the stage. That's
the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to John, says that they've known the Father, and that their sins have been forgiven them for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake.
All right, that's in the earlier verses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter. Yes. So they're born again, genuine Christians, and so he's giving a command to the little children. What's his command? What's his command? Any hands on that? No hands? Nobody knows.
Abide.
What does abide mean? Yes. Barbara?
Remain.
All right, remain and continue to obey. But in other words, that just doesn't stop. It's a continuation of abiding and dwelling in him. What would that mean, abiding in him, the Holy Spirit? What do you mean to abide in him? Yes, Dan?
To allow him to fill us.
All right, allow him to fill us, guide us, teach us. Maybe that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, abiding in him, because it says the next day, it's he, and who is the he referred to last Sunday, Barbara?
That's it, when he shall appear and his Christ is from
the Lord Jesus Christ, that's his appearance. So abide in him, probably not the Holy Spirit, but the Lord Jesus Christ because of the reference. One thing, yeah, Barbara?
John 15, abide in me.
Yeah, abide in me, that's right. Abide in me. And what appearance is this referring? How many appearances of Lord Jesus will there be in the future? Any hands on me? 10?
Well, there's going to be 2 appearances. One that she'll just be for the Christians.
All right.
And then one that the whole world will see.
All right. There's 2 phases of this second coming.
But there will be 2 appearances, but not, but only 1 coming.
In what way will they be different, the first and second phase of this second coming? What way will they be different after that?
We have the blessed book like Daniel was saying, the rapture, meeting the clouds, just for the saints, believers. The second is in the Lord's appearing, the Lord Jesus Christ, because it comes into the earth. This is just, can be said again, it's just getting out of olives. And the whole world sees this event, how the Lord we get in, and then transitioning quickly into the millennial time period.
What is the first phase called?
Rapture.
Somebody said, rapture in the Bible. The Greek word, harpazo. Harpazo, which means to snatch away. It's a good raptio. That means in the Latin, snatch away, so it's a good translation. How many years separate those 2 phases? That are? Any 10?
Which got me to
10 and
which would part?
Going to the back.
It's Dalinar.
7 years.
7 years separate there, Barbara, is that right?
Yeah.
7 years. What's that 7 years called?
Tribulation.
What's another name for tribulation? Yes, Pat?
The time of Jacob's trouble.
Time of Jacob's trouble. We read that, didn't we? In the book of Jeremiah recently. Was it Jeremiah? I think it was Jacob. Jacob's trouble.
Wait,
was it
Daniel?
Was it in Daniel?
It's in Daniel.
Yeah. Maybe.
I think.
Maybe also in Jeremiah. I'm not sure which recently we read it. I don't remember which one it is. But there one is through the genuine believers only. That's the rapture. And it'd be in the air. The other is for the whole world. He'll appear to the whole world and save and lost and he'll be on earth. And will anybody in this world except the general Christians see him after that? No, nobody can see him. They say, why are we gone? Some will say, good riddance. This man.
So the appearing in verse 28, when he shall appear, he's going to appear to the Christians.
Right.
And they're the ones that want to have confidence and not be ashamed that it's coming.
That's right.
Those that aren't saved don't care. So he's not
right.
Talking about saved anyway.
Right. Questions at the FTBC at our rate 5-6-2-6-1-9-0-1-8. Here we got a call right coming up. Thank you. Yes. Jacob, right ahead from Texas.
Yes, the first word talks about the time of Jacob's trouble is in Jeremiah 30, verse 8.
Good.
Daniel 7 is weak. And Daniel 9, 25, I think. I'm not sure about that one. The exact verse could be 124 and 27.
Good. Thank you, Jake. I appreciate that. I knew I just listened to recently. We're in Jeremiah.
I didn't finish my morning reading yet.
Jeremiah and Daniel both. Thanks very much. Let's wave to Jacob, his mother there, Gail, in Texas.
I was afraid of that. It was a stage reading.
She's sure to find it out.
I only read one chapter.
I'm glad you're reading.
So far.
So far. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Join us. There was a comment, question, or call. Yes, as Tammy mentioned there in verse 28, that we may not, when we have, who's the we referred to here? Hands on that. Yes, Barbara?
But same as the true Christian.
The true Christian, genuine Christian, true Christians, we may have confidence. Now, what do you think he's talking about, having confidence? What kind of confidence in regard to this verse is referred to? Any hands on that? Yeah.
Well, confidence in the that we're walking with him and not being ashamed of sin that we haven't confessed and that we're not.
All right.
Fellowship
with him. What else might be referred to? We have time to have Barbara.
Well, my thought was I have a friend who says we need to get short now.
All right, that's good. Anything else about the conference? Then Bill.
We can be sure that the Lord will fulfill what he promises.
All right. And therefore his coming has been fulfilled. He promised that. He'll come again. See the return. So I think confidence, all these other things, right? But also confidence that he's going to come. He's going to appear. Yes, Barbara.
my thought was there's now therefore no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That when the confidence is what he has done for us, not anything of what we've done, but that when he comes back, we can be with him because of everything that he's done for us. That's our confidence. It's like our hope.
That's our hope and the confidence he will perform. He will come. Members just might go away or we'll come again and receive the other myself. That's the thing.
Well, I was just looking for that verse. I was going to ask Jacob where it was again because I was looking for it.
Daniel 7.
I see it. In Jeremiah 30, it's 30 verse 7.
Okay.
I think it may have said 8 because I wrote it down.
Uh-huh.
But it's 7.
Read
it first. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the cloud of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it.
Very good. So when he showed her, we know we have confidence.
Chapter 30, Jeremiah 30, verse 7.
Confidence. What else should not be the case in verse number 28? Yes, Barbara?
And not be ashamed.
Now, why do you think that's there? Why not be ashamed? Ashamed of what? Ashamed of who? What ashamed of that is the perfect? Yes, Barbara?
Well, ashamed of ourselves. All right. If we're walking in sin.
All right.
Yeah, because the we with the and there, mm-hmm. and we be not ashamed. It's the still, we may have confidence and we be not ashamed.
All right. Now, why would a person, let's say, a Christian, genuine Christian, be ashamed at the rapture when it takes place in the world time? Yes.
Well, what about carnal Christians?
Carnal Christians? They have a lot of... Why would they be ashamed?
Because they haven't walked the walk.
All right. In other words,
Bill. Those who have unconfessed sin as well.
Yes. They'd be ashamed. Now, give me an illustration today, this today's world. At what occasion would we be ashamed when someone comes, like the praying Lord? We would be ashamed before the person is coming to see us. Give us an illustration.
Well, if our house is messy.
All right. Or when they come in here.
All the time.
When they come, they see that we might be ashamed.
I'm not talking about your house.
No, I said, if someone comes, no, we might be ashamed. That's right. The form. That's true. And also, what if we have said some bad things about this particular person? All of a sudden, shows up at our door. Maybe he has a walkie-talkie and he's heard us saying. They might be ashamed at his coming, right? So, it's a very important thing that we keep close accounts, as Barbara said, with the Lord. Close accounts. Confess every minute, every day, time we get in sin. And go.
Also, not only to be in right standing with the Lord there, but if we have unconfessed sin or something on our conscience that was wrong and we don't admit it or whatever, it would weigh on us. And we should feel some weight from that. There should be a sense of guilt that we carry around with it. Mm-hmm. I don't want that.
That's good. Not be ashamed before him that is coming. So keep short accounts with the Lord. And every minute that we sin, we should confess. Every hour, day, week, month, year, just keep close accounts. Not be sure before that is coming, and we said that before to the rapture in the air, caught up with the Lord Jesus in the air with all the saved Christians. I'm writing about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in the book I'm working on now. And I mentioned in that first chapter, not be ashamed, not to waiting for his coming. These Corinthians were waiting for his coming in that verse, whatever verse it is, 8 or 9. And so I mentioned in there five different phases of beliefs about the rest of that, Barbara?
Verse 17, chapter 4. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
Very good.
That's our confidence.
Confidence again. How many...
What is that, Barbara? 4:17.
Oh, it's the first John?
Mm-hmm.
4:17, that's good. How many views of the rapture are right, and how many views of the rapture are wrong? Any hands on that? Hey, Barbara? How many should we make? 10?
Only one is right.
Only one is right. How many are wrong?
The rest of them. Depends on how many views people think there are.
How many do we usually
Well, I don't know, because there's the no rapture view.
That's one.
There's the mid-tribulation rapture. There's the partial rapture.
Partial rapture.
There's the post-tribulation rapture. There's the pre-wrath rapture.
And then there's pre-mill. That's the right one, pre-mill. Well, let's just clarify ourselves. All right, pre-tribulation, that's the truth. Mid-tribulation, pre-wrath, post-tribulation, partial rapture, and the no rapture at all. I just said five.
Did you say pre-wrath?
Yes,
yeah,
you
said that one.
Post-trip.
I guess it.
Well, let's try it again.
I don't
know what the true one is. Let me
write it down.
It's five patterns. Are you ready?
Say, yeah, I'm ready.
Get set.
No, not so fast. Just go through it slowly.
I don't want
to miss anything.
Here we go. Ready? Pre-tribulation is correct. So for the four ones, the five ones that are bad.
Okay, so.
Mid-tribulation. Pre-rest.
Pre-rest.
Post-tribulation rapture, partial rapture, and no rapture at all. No.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Including
three.
Five. Five balance. So let me ask the question again.
Five balance.
How many good ones and how many bad ones?
Bad ones.
Bad ones. Yes,
Barbara. There's one good one and four bad ones.
What is that?
There's one good one and four bad
ones. Yeah, that's correct.
Five
balance. I can't count. Well, let's go back and over again. Five balance.
Mid.
Mid-tribulation. Pre-wrath. Post-tribulation. Post-tribulation.
Partial.
And no tribulation at all. Those are five.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Plus the one that's new.
Hi.
Hey, come in. Questions at bfcbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. I'm just happy to do that. Have a seat. We're in 1 John. Okay, 1 John, okay. Chapter 2. And we're in verse number 28. 1 John 2, 28. All right. We've had all these talk about the different views of the rapture. One right and five wrong. And those are what I put in that 1 Corinthians the other day. So it worked out. Then in verse number...
The other day?
As I wrote in my 1 Corinthians book the other day, I put that in chapter 1, verse
8.
8 or 9. I forget where it is. It's either 8 or 9, I believe. Where it says, and look forward to his coming. Something to that effect. To look forward to his coming. Awaiting. That's right. Awaiting the coming of the Lord. Something like that. Awaiting the coming of the Lord Jesus. Remember, let's learn this. 1 Corinthians 1, 8 or 1, 9. Awaiting the coming of the Lord.
Okay, got it.
Oh, I thought you were
going to I was looking it up. One.
Was 8 or 9, was it?
We shall also confirm you unto the end of that you need be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
What is verse 9?
That was 9.
There's no verse 9. What is it, Brian? I mean, 10?
Well, let me
is it 10?
But now, if each
partner
by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ,
we
all speak the same thing.
How about
7? So that when you come behind and no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord. That's
it. Waiting for the coming of our Lord. What's 7?
7.
I knew it was somewhere in there.
Close,
but not right. All right, let's continue. Today we're in chapter 2, 1 John, and we're in verse number 28.
Okay.
28. All right. Are we in 28? Yes, we just finished chapter 20. Now let's go to 29, 1 John 2, 29. You know that he is righteous. Who is he referring to that he is? That's
right.
The Lord Jesus Christ, that's right. He is righteous. Did he ever have any sin?
No. Oh, that's the
positive. No. Now, if he did not have any sin, who was the only candidate for pardon? But who was the only candidate that could take the sins of others? In this whole world, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because he was sinless, the only one. He's God, perfect man, and he could bear the sins in his own body. And that's the way the Father and the Son worked that out, the redemption of the sinners in the world. Now, just be afraid of the barber.
Non-posse
cacare? Non-posse cacare. The truth is, posse non-cacare and non-posse cacare. What's the difference?
Napasi Nam Sakari is able not to sin, and Nam Sakari Sakari is not able to sin.
Which is truth?
Nam Sakari Sakari.
He was not able to sin. See, some people teach he's able not to sin, but he could have sinned. But to be perfect God. But able not to sin, no. Not able to sin. That's what it is in the Latin, that's what we're talking about. Not able. So these are the things that he is righteous, absolutely righteous. Now, because he took the sins of the world, does that make the Lord Jesus Christ unrighteous?
No.
No. He is righteous, always perfect. But as the sin bearer, he took them. And my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In what sense did the Father forsake the Son? What sense?
Okay? Well, he
couldn't
look on the sin.
Look on, compare the sin. Okay. Does that mean he forsook him as far as this deity is concerned?
No.
Father and the Son never forsook each other, but as far as the sin of Son of Man taking the sins of the world, he could not look, as you said, could not look. So he's righteous, always righteous. And notice, what's the next part of verse 29 teach? The Lord Jesus Christ is righteous. Yes, Barbara?
Everyone that doeth righteous is born of him.
All right, now does that mean salvation by works?
No.
No. But what does it teach? It's certainly, yeah, that's it.
It's a result. It's a fruit of sanctification.
But the fruit of sanctification, result, those that are righteous should do the works of righteousness, born of him. But sometimes those that are born of him do not do the works of righteousness. But the will of God is that they do the works of righteousness. But it's not works of salvation, as it says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and 10. Let's say that again. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, as a gift of God, not of works, but of the nature of God. For we are his workmanship, created by Jesus unto the works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them.
And so, this is saying no one can do righteousness apart from being born of him.
That's true, that's true.
If someone's not born of him, they cannot do righteousness.
That's right. What does Isaiah say about Isaiah 64 say about the works of men, the righteousness of people, the last part. What is it? Put it in Barbara and 10.
There's filthy rags.
That's right. Isaiah 64, verse 6, 64, 7, 54, 6, 8. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. Okay. What do you say there, Barbara? We got 64, what? 6? 64, 6? So we got the right chapter. I think the right chapter, right?
64.
64, verse 6, isn't it?
6.
Read it for us.
But we are all his unclean thing, and all our righteousness are his filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquity is like the wind of taken us away.
Yes.
This is interesting. It's all our righteousnesses.
Plural.
Are.
Yes. Plural. That's right. Are, not is. Our righteousness is open. I'm glad we got that straight. Not our righteousness. Our righteousnesses. All right, so. Good works, all the good works. Now, in God's eyes, are unsaved man's good works good? In God's eyes, are they good?
No.
No, they're filthy rags. In his sight, surely. Well, any other comments or questions on chapter 2 before we move on to 1 John chapter 3? Yes, Barbara?
We talked about Christ being sinless and not able to sin. If he had sinned, he couldn't have taken our sin.
That's right. That's right. He had to be perfectly righteous, perfectly the Lamb of God, who can take away the sins of the world, but if he's a sinner himself, he cannot die for somebody else's sins. That's true. Any other comments or questions? Chapter 2 before we move on to see. By questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call, answer some of the questions, and give us some comments on 1 John chapter 2. Now chapter 3, let's read verses 1, 2, and 3. Behold, what manner of love God hath bestowed upon us,
we should call the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him, purifies himself, even as he is pure.
Why verse number 3? What does behold mean? Hands on that? Yes, Barbara?
Look intently.
Look intently. What manner of love? Who's the Father here? Who's the Father?
God the Father.
God the Father. God the Father. and he's bestowed. What does it mean to bestow something? Bestow. Put that?
Give.
To give, right? Upon us was the answer for you here. Pardon?
We and the prior, the true Christian.
True Christian, true Christian. And what does God call us? Yes, pardon?
Sons of God.
Is this a son in all the males?
No.
In the scripture, what does it mean?
He's everything.
His children, his humanity. And so, I want to be sure. Now, how does a person become a son or a child of God?
By
being
born in God's family. Into God's family.
Does every preacher agree with us on that?
No.
What does some of the preachers say?
Well, Billy Graham said, even if you've never heard the name of Jesus, you're going to heaven.
To heaven? They say, everybody's a child of God. Everybody's saved. Everybody's going to heaven. What's that? False
beautiful.
Universalism. Universalism.
Yeah,
the correct time. Well, the correct time is out there. My watch, at least, it's 2:09. Okay. 50 seconds. We're going to 2:10, almost 2:10.
Thank you.
All right?
2:09.
Yeah, make it 2:10. It's not 2:10. Well, according to the Lord. All right, so it's a matter of love. In what way people are called God's sons of God? Is that true of this God's love? Any hands on that? No problem?
What manner of love the Father is what a different kind of love the Father has bestowed upon us.
All right.
That we should be called the sons of God.
So it's by God's grace, it's the Father's wish that He's bestowed upon us His love that we should be called because we've trusted His Son. And because those who are genuine Christians are called sons and children of God, what does the world think about that? Any hands on that? Yeah, Barbara?
Doesn't know.
No, it's not. Why?
Because it didn't know Him.
Didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, Him. And so they don't know, they don't want to know us, they don't want to have anything to do with us. Sometimes when they know we're Christians, they turn it back to Tammy and then Father.
Could it also mean that they don't know God the Father?
Could be.
I mean, because a lot of people say, oh, I believe in God.
Well,
and
yeah.
Then they think they're Christians.
Uh-huh.
Because they say, I believe in God.
Yes. Is that all that's necessary to believe in? Because how many persons are there? How many persons? Three persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three persons. And it's not those that just believe in God. Do the Jews believe in God?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do the Jews believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?
No.
Are they saved or lost?
Lost.
They're lost. Was Paul formerly a Jew?
Yeah.
When he became a Christian, did he believe differently or the same?
Differently.
Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. No longer was a Jew. Now he's a Christian. Jews by birth, but he's a Christian by faith, a new birth. All right, so they don't know that because they knew him nearby.
Did we finish verse
1
yet?
Well, we'll have something else on that. What matter of
no,
why?
We're
still on verse 1, honey. The very end of verse 1.
Right now?
Yeah, we're in verse 1, the very end, the last couple of words.
That's what I don't understand.
Now, what does that mean again? Let's refresh. Remember that. The world knoweth us not. In what sense does the world not know the genuine Christians?
They don't understand us.
Probably don't understand us. They don't understand us.
They think we're just pretending,
or we're
liars,
or
we're
confused. Crazy. Yes. And what was Pastor Henry called when he was a Christian and told about the sermon?
Well, it goes because if it didn't know him, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my mom came to visit me one time and my neighbor came over. She was an alcoholic and she had a lot of other problems. And when I introduced her to my mom, they had a short conversation and it was very short.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day she said she enjoyed meeting my mom. She said, she's such a pure, holy woman.
Mm-hmm.
And all she had done was stand there and basically exchange pleasantries.
Yes.
She had something different.
That's good. As Tammy said, the meaning of Noah's does not understand this. No one says of understanding. That's a very important distinction. Any other questions on that, honey?
Is
that
what
Moses
taught me? Doesn't understand it?
Probably understand it. In other words, what did they not understand about the genuine Christians? What does the world not understand?
Well, they don't understand that we're not our own.
All right, what else don't they understand? That's one thing, right?
They don't understand our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's our faith.
That he was resurrected. And they think, oh, he was just a man. He lived, yeah, he was an historical figure, but he didn't rise. He didn't rise from the dead.
What else do the unsaved world not understand? Do they understand they're sinners?
No.
Do they understand they're going to hell?
Well, when I grew up on base, when we were going on base, it was like everybody was going to hell and they're going to party there too.
Okay.
They don't understand what the Bible is saying.
Right. Do you understand what salvation is? Very same. The world does not understand. Or if they understand, they understand wrong. Wrong understanding. Mm-hmm. But not the real understanding of what it is. Any other comments to chapter 2 before we move on to chapter 3? All right. We said, behold.
Aren't we
on
3 now?
Yes, we were, but then you were in fact another thing at chapter 2, I believe.
We just finished.
Well, I guess we're on 1, verse 1. Yeah, verse 1. No, it's not. I'm sorry. You're correct. No, it's not because of the hymn. Now, in verse number 2, who's he referring to here? Who's he talking to? John talking to here in verse number 2. That's
believers.
Believers, genuine Christians, because it's called the beloved. Now, are all genuine Christians always acting beloved? Are they always acting beloved?
No, but we're beloved to God. We're all beloved to God.
But we're not always acting beloved?
No.
We're still beloved by God?
No.
But actions.
How do you know what it is to be beloved?
Well, if someone says, I love you, there must be something about the person that they're loving to cause them to use that term. A lot of people say, I hate you. Well, they must be doing something that causes them to use that term. But when God calls us beloved, that means we're his children. That's right.
John is calling.
That's right. That's right. He's calling that. It's in the scripture, so the scripture is calling that. But
just the name that
he has. It's a name. It's just like people are genuine Christians. The question is, do they always act like Christians?
How do Christians act?
Well, they're supposed to follow the Lord.
That's not Christians first in any act, because they were acting like Christ.
That's right. And Christians are following the Lord. They're led by the Spirit of God, not by their flesh. They have the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh. Yeah. So, Barbara?
I'm going back to we're beloved of God. He loved us while we were yet sinners. While we were still enemies and not reconciled, he still loved us.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now that we're in God's family, because he's just told us that we're sons of God, a father, the concept is generally a father loves his children.
Mm-hmm. So the lovingness is there. But let's see John 3:16. For God
so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And
so he loves the whole world, but those he's picked and chosen out of her, those who are trusted his son, they're special. They're beloved, special ones. So I think that's the difference. He loved the whole world, but those who trusted his son are in a different category. They're beloved. Not simply loved, but beloved. He says. And we should act like we're beloved. We should act like we're Christian, not just be Christian, but act like back then.
Beloved is the recipient of love, right?
Yes, that's right. Recipient of love. And do all people act on God's loving the whole world? They don't always act on it. He loves the whole world, but they don't act. They don't accept his son. It says that whosoever believeth in him. And it doesn't stop there. Should not perish. Everyone put this trust in him, it gives the everlasting life. So, it says in verse number 2, when are we the sons of God? What are the Christians, the sons or children of the Lord?
Now.
Right now. Does that mean we're perfect?
No.
No? What does it mean? What does it mean to be a son or child of God?
Put all your trust and your hope on Jesus Christ.
That's how it becomes. Now, once we are the sons of God, what does that mean? Children of God. We have put our faith in our world, Savior. Yes, thank you.
We've been adopted.
Right, it's our brother.
We're joined
here. My name is Christ. We're now sons. That's our title. That's our good title, folks. Children of God. Sons of God. Now, then in verse 2, it goes on. What about the future? Is the future clear or not clear? Is the future of the children of God clear in this verse or not clear exactly? Precisely. Yes, Barbara?
Well, we know we're going to be changed.
Right.
But we don't know what that is. We can't experience that beforehand. We can't know that. We know intellectually, but we can't know it experientially.
Jesus mm-hmm. says that we know what we shall be. That's fine.
But exactly. We are going to be something different than the Son.
All right.
But now we are the Son of God, and definitely it's what we shall be.
Does it necessarily mean we're no longer children or sons?
No, but we have a different.
But there's a question of what we shall be.
We should know that when we shall be, we should be like
that's
that.
The future.
There's
the future
of
maybe. But probably we're still children of God or sons of God, but there's going to be something in addition to that, okay?
Is that referring to the corruption, putting on incorruption, and the morsels putting on immortality?
Yes.
So the new bodies that we're going to have are going to be without sin.
Right.
Not a change in our relationship,
no.
But a change in our bodies.
That's right.
And how it's going to affect us as far as sin and fellowship with other people and with the Lord.
What true scripture verses tell us this?
In 1 Corinthians 15. 1
Corinthians 15, what else tells us about the future? Any other chapter? Any other book?
First
Thessalonians chapter 4. It tells us about the future. In the rapture, take us away, all this.
Oh, yeah, we shall be changed.
You changed it. There's a change. So, you know, we shall be, but now it speaks of what event in verse number 2. What do you think? Barbara?
We're back to his appearing.
His appearing. And how many phases of his appearing are there that we know about? Two. What are the two phases of his coming? Future coming. The first coming was one, then there's a second coming, and there are two phases, two parts. What's the first part?
Rapture.
And what's the second part?
Second coming
in glory. One is square and the other square. Yes.
The first one's in the clouds.
The clouds? Second
one's in the clouds.
What else? Yes, huh?
Well, how do you know there's two phases? Maybe it's all one. I don't remember being taught about two phases.
She's been taught rapture and second coming. Or we will be more specific in saying
it. It means the same thing. It's just a different way of explaining it.
Is it the same thing?
Either calling it the rapture and the second coming, or calling it two phases of the second coming.
Phase one and the rapture are the same thing, right?
Yeah, Bill?
Phase two and the... There's a seven-year period between the rapture and the second coming.
There must be two.
That's the great tribulation.
I'm not saying that... I'm saying what you two are saying is the same thing. Whether you call it the rapture or the first phase of the second coming, and the second coming or the second phase of the second coming. It's the same thing. You're just using different language and you're confusing each other.
Well, some people only refer to the coming to earth as the second coming.
Right.
Some of our leaders are after. I prefer the future coming, his appearance. It's appearing. One will be to the believers only, the other will be to the whole world. So there are two phases of his coming. Let's see what Jacob has to say, or maybe his father. Yeah, Jacob, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I
want
to keep it real simple.
Since
you mentioned the second coming, in verse 7:4 it says,
and
let the saints
go on
of all
days. That's good. Amen. Amen. Uh-huh. Thank you, Ms. Ray. Jacob, again. Thank you, Jacob.
Hey, Dale.
Any more questions? And there are questions at VFTBC 4856-261-901. Give us a call or comments. I'd hear from you. Two phases of his appearing. That's good. For the saints and with the saints. And, of course, by saints, what do you mean? Roman Catholic saints?
No.
What do you mean by saints?
Ordained people.
Ordained people. They've been in Christian believers.
The hobby.
Separated holy. Holy ones. Put my form right there. I can't put it in my belt. All right, so we have when he shall appear. Does anyone know when he shall appear?
No.
Any hands on that? That's Barbara?
No.
That's
the
Father
only.
Okay. But what do some people teach based upon the internet and the teachings that are going around? When do some people know that he's going to come?
September 23rd. September.
September. Well, on what basis do they believe that lie?
The alignment of the stars according to Revelation 12.
All right, what else?
It's just in the sky.
Well, but what else? What are the feasts of the Feast of
Tabernacles. That's right, Feast of Tabernacles.
It's always the
Feast of Tabernacles.
Now, these people think they're right. We had first used to come here, that's what they believe. In fact, I think last time he was in the church at Wendy's, I believe he was telling the people the Lord's going to come on September 25th, Feast of Tabernacles. He was telling, I was kind of going out, I wasn't there, but someone told me he mentioned that. But we don't believe that this is the case. What do we say the rapture is? What term do people say about the timing of the rapture of Christ? What's the word that they use? That's right, thank you, Dan.
Any moment.
At any moment or imminent. At any moment. Now, if we have to wait till September 23rd, is that imminency? Is that imminency then? Is that any moment? Bill?
No, that's not imminency. They're interpreting scripture to say that there are certain signs. Look up into the heavens, you'll see certain signs, and when these things occur, then you'll know that the sun is coming.
What is one sign that they use?
It went in one ear and out the other ear.
What do they call it? The same sign this time was used in color, yes.
Blood moons?
Blood moons.
Eclipse of the sun.
That's
it, eh? Okay.
Questions?
I said or something, the eclipse of the sun.
The sun?
Different things, stars and...
Oh, that's tomorrow.
Going on. Yeah, I know.
By the way,
please, anybody listening to the internet right here, don't look at that eclipse. Very serious damage to the eye. It may happen immediately, but later on down. Very important. That's why they're selling all these special glasses. And they say, go get the phony glasses, because you'll hurt your eyes. Get the right ones, and they don't even look at it. See, it's dangerous. It's the first time it's happened in 90-some years. That's what they said in the right for all the true enough. Oh,
right. 1979.
Was it? 1979,
they said on the news last
night. Yeah, but someone told me just the news today. That's the first time it's happened. The eclipse of the sun in 99 years.
The one that occurred in 1979, that was viewable from India. You had to go on that side of the world to see that eclipse. In fact, I have it on disk.
Maybe this was a total eclipse, some of the...
Yeah, that was a total eclipse too, but this is one that's visible here.
Well, why? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
why?
Well,
why? Well, I think maybe it's the same.
Well, it has to do with American prophecy. We all know that, that it's coming across America, and then later on something's going to happen, and it's going to come the other way, and X marks the spot, Kansas, Missouri, what do I know? And then it's all going to break loose, but...
Well, now, if indeed it happened in 79, why do these people on the radio say it hasn't happened in 90-some years?
Maybe we have the Western Hemisphere. Maybe the Western Hemisphere eclipse. Because this eclipse will be viewable from the Eastern Hemisphere, probably.
We've had
many partial eclipses, because I remember growing up. Mm-hmm. We had like a little paper device that we used to create a shadow on a piece of paper. When you get the piece of paper, you see the partial eclipse and stuff. When I was in school, but there is a full eclipse.
And maybe it's a total eclipse.
In this, at this hemisphere, I mean, there has been like built-in in the what, the eastern hemisphere.
There was a partial one in the 70s because my mom and I, towards was looking. We did look out. We were in Camden. But I remember we looked out, and it seemed like what you see in the pictures on the news, you know. Of course, memory can play tricks on you. But yeah, I guess it was less than a partial one.
And in India,
we looked at something for a couple seconds, and then we thought,
yeah,
that's
partial.
Yeah.
It was in India, it was seen as a full eclipse. The moon completely covered down with the sun. At that point, I have it on disc at home. I have all the film on that.
I think we've got to understand what did they mean to the news today or yesterday, I forget which, but says this has not happened, this particular situation.
It's because it hasn't happened in the United States before.
They didn't say that. The Western news.
They should have clarified what they said.
Well, they didn't.
They never clarified.
They never clarified it. What's that, what kind of news is that called?
Fake.
Fake news, okay. All right, so with the blood moons, there's nothing that we would see. We can't be imminent. Any time if you have a special date, yes, but that's then and Bill.
In some instances, these people that are predicting the date of the rapture are not, are all nil. Now, how do I am, or they're
post.
So they're thinking that this is the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Some of them. I mean, it's the groups are probably split up among themselves.
Yes.
Many people think that when they're set dates, they think it's the end of the world, end of time. Mm-hmm. When Harold Camping set his date, he wasn't thinking it was going to be the start of the tribulation. His date was, that was the end of time. That was the end of the world.
Yeah.
And the eternal state would begin. No one, all mill.
Yeah, I know.
And then some of these people are. They're influenced by all mills.
Mm-hmm.
So when Harold Camping's date, when he set his two dates,
mm-hmm.
first date, second date,
mm-hmm.
in 1984, 1994, whatever number was, and
Was he right on either date?
And his renewal date, whatever that date was.
Was right on either date. He messed with both of them.
No.
Oh, sure. That's right.
Maybe he got the wrong year, the right date, the wrong year. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But the point is, he did not believe in a millennium. The consequence did not believe in the tribulation time period. So his date was the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of these people that are setting the 23rd, 21st of September are not believing it's going to be the commencement of the tribulation period. Some of them may, that have been misled of us to see, but many of them are going to believe it's the end of time.
Yeah.
But they're all milk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the tax collector comes around to collect, they know, well, no, it is real. But anyhow, I saw blood moon, it was in the late 1980s, in the bus stop, and at that point, the orbit of the moon was closer to the Earth than it normally is, so it looked really big, and it was red. But nothing prophetic happened.
It was red.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they happen in Israel often.
Mm-hmm. What does millennium mean? What does millennium mean? What does millennium mean?
Thousand? Thousand year reign.
Thousand year. Mill is thousand. Thousand years. Millennium is the year. Thousand years. Okay. When is that? Where is that in the Bible?
Revelation.
How many times did you use?
Six.
What did Mr. Kevin think of about here?
It was just figurative language.
Who called him and asked him about that?
Probably a lot of
people.
You did.
I did. Well, other people here. What did he say to him?
I don't know.
As he said, just figure out what doesn't mean about here. Five or six times. Count them up, Barbara. She goes five or six. 1,000 years in there. It's just spiritualization. It's unreal.
I correct myself. It's chapter 20.
Oh, okay.
And between verse 2 and verse 7, there's six times.
Six times, 1,000 years. 1,000 years. This millennium is real. It's part of the dispensational truth, isn't it? Law, grace, and yes, Barbara.
And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a season. And then, and I saw thrones made of Sodom. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of God, that worshiped not the beast, his image, or whatever, and received the mark in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection.
Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power, but they that be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of prison.
All right, so this is talking about when he shall appear. Is he going to appear?
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, yes he will. Does all the world believe that?
No.
No, they don't. But the scriptures are very clear. He's going to appear, and in verse number chapter 2 and verse 28, there should be a shame before him at his coming. Again, he talks about the coming of the Lord, and the gospel is out. Chapter 14. I see through my voice and know the Father. And it talks about his coming, does it not? Somewhere in that. I will see you again. It's Gospel time. And so this appearing, when he shall appear, what is true in verse 2? When he does, the Lord Jesus does appear. Pardon?
We should be like him.
Who's the reader for you?
Born again Christians.
The 10? Oh, good. Now, in what way should we be like him according to this verse? Or without this verse, in 1 Corinthians 15, pardon?
This is the Greek like that means the similar and resembling.
All right. Tell me.
It has to do with the corruption, putting on incorruption, and then immortal, putting on immortal. So we're going to have new bodies.
New bodies?
So like him.
Like Lord Jesus Christ. Does Lord Jesus have it yet?
At that time, I believe we will be, all of our sin will be purged from us.
All right.
That's the way I understand it. Tell me if I'm wrong.
But we'll be in, sin will be purged from us. Will the new bodies have any sin?
No.
Will there be male and female new bodies?
No.
No, they will not.
That is kind of strange.
Well, there's no longer marriage. There's no need for a husband and wife. Male and female, yeah, right on.
We are predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son.
Romans 8:29, conformed to the image of his Son. So the image of his Son, be likened to him.
That means the barber is going to be a man.
No, there's not going to be a man. I don't know.
No.
Well, you know what that means, Phil?
No, what?
The opposite is also true.
You got to be one. No, but both of you are wrong. There's no male or female who are like him in his new resurrected body. And so that's important.
Be like the angels.
They're
not really, they don't really have gender.
Although they're called men in the Bible. Yes. But the fallen angels in Genesis chapter 6 took upon themselves human bodies, just appeared in order to go into these women and have angels born. These fallen ones born, which is terrible. All right, we shall see him as he is. What does that mean? Can you guys have that? Shall see him. Yes, Barbara.
We'll see him in all his glory and perfection.
Okay, Tim. As he is. Now, did any of the disciples, anybody on earth, see him when he was here the first time?
Yeah.
As you saw him, but as he was then, yeah. Pastor Dan.
Well, the Shekinah glory is no longer needs to be veiled. Perhaps, is what you're referring to.
Right. Now, when he was here on earth, it was veiled, right?
He was like a man.
Tell me?
Well, Peter, James, and John saw him when he was transfigured.
Transfiguration.
In his glory.
His glory.
But otherwise, no one has seen him in his glory.
Right.
Until we have our new bodies.
Mm-hmm. And if we did see him in his glory with his old bodies, what would happen to us?
He couldn't handle it.
He couldn't handle it. We'd be dead.
Most have had a veil.
That's right. So it's very serious. If we try to look at him when he's here, if he were completely refulgent in his glory, 100%, we shall see him as he is. Will we be dead and killed with new bodies seeing him as he is? Will those Christians be dead because they're seeing him as he is? Okay.
Well, we would have been changed.
We'll be changed, and therefore we'll have bodies, new bodies, like unto his, and we can look at him with his glory because it won't hurt us. It'll be a new body, like unto his. Yes, Barbara?
I like this little thought here. We shall see him as he is, present tense.
Yes, as he is right now.
Sure. There is no past tense. You know, for Christ, he always is.
That's true. But as he is, at least at that not what he was before, okay. His human body, is his deity, he was always eternal, but in his perfect God, perfect man, he had a beginning, and he, I guess, at the resurrection, he sort of had an end of that particular state. Mm-hmm. He had a new body back and forth. Pardon?
I have a thought, and I don't quite know how to clarify it, but that he is, as he is in heaven now, we shall see him right. As he presently is.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm not saying what I'm asking.
In other words, when he was, Lord Jesus was on earth, we could see it. After the bodily resurrection, they could see it. But when he went up to glory, he's going to be completely glorified in majesty, completely shining.
Right now.
But right now, that's what he is right now.
Right.
And we who are on this earth would not be able to behold him with his perfect shining glory. But with new bodies changed, we shall be able to see him and behold him. As he is right then at that time in heaven, and we'll see him as he is, we shall see him as he is. Then in verse number 3, every man, is that only males? Wasn't it?
Every person,
a human being, that's just the way it is. That's made clear in the Greek, but in the translation it's not always clear. Was it true that every person has who's every man referring to? What are they saying, Christians, that have this hope? What is the hope referred to here? At 10?
Mom already said it.
Well, but I'm right, I see you raise your hand, so go ahead.
Well, that we will see him as he is.
Okay, what else? Hope.
In his glory, in his full glory.
Okay. And what hope? What hope is this for within others?
The change of our body.
Well, that's true, but granted to Barbara?
His appearance.
Probably his appearance, when he shall appear. That's just says in chapter 2, verse 28. We are coming, not be ashamed before him at his coming. It refers possibly to his coming, when he shall appear, to have this hope. This, what's another term for it? Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 14. Well,
blessed hope, right?
Blessed hope, yes. Referring there to the rapture.
Right, yes. Yeah.
40 cents. Good, we can stop now. Go ahead.
Question.
Yes.
Every man that has this hope, present tense, mm-hmm. Continuing.
Right. What is true, then, and have this hope?
Your question.
Okay. We'll pick this up next week, Lord willing. We'll stop right there at verse 2. We'll pick it up chapter 3. Is there any other comments or questions you might have before we close? All right, if not, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the Apostle John's writing. We thank you for the scriptures we understand. Many things we don't understand. We thank you, Lord, that one day he will return, Lord Jesus Christ. And help us, those who are genuine Christians, to work for him, love him, serve him, day by day, moment by moment. We may not be ashamed before him if he should come today, before we leave this room. Now this week, this month, this year, we know not when he shall come. Even though people are from date setters, scriptures do not set a specific date. Mr. Camping set dates, all people through history have been setting dates. Lord, keep us ready at any minute, imminently, that he may appear. Keep us faithful to thee. Thank you for this book of prayer, John. As you breakfast, bring us back on during the Bible study for more study of the scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name for this day. Amen. Thank you for coming.